Welcome to the Spodcaster, Spring Football Edition. We're doing a series on each unit. And I'm Tom Keegan here with Matt Tate. And today let's tackle the running backs, Matt, if we can catch up to them.
I like that a lot. I've never been known as a very good tackler, so this could be tough.
We'll tackle this question. It is a tough question, actually. Tell me who's going to lead this team in rushing yards next fall.
It is a tough question. I mean, obviously you have a ton of answers, or options anyway. And
don't forget DeAndre Mann, who's not here yet in the spring.
Right.
But a JUCO transfer who looks real good on film.
Yeah, well, I'll give you my answer, but so people listening can kind of follow along too. You have Brandon Bourbon as an option, Taylor Cox as an option, Darian Miller as an option, DeAndre Mann, as you talked about, and then two freshmen coming in, Trayvon Wrench and Corey Avery. I mean, if it's not one of those, then Montel Cozart had a great year, I guess.
Yeah, but, or Tony Pearson has switched back to running back and given up the wide receiver.
Yeah, so it's one of those, and right now, Brandon Bourbon is number one on the depth chart. Darian Miller's right there with him, right behind him. Both of them have a lot of talent. For some reason, though, and I don't know exactly what it is, but I have some guesses. For some reason, I have a feeling that it may be DeAndre Mann.
And why?
The reason, the biggest reason.
Because Miami, Florida offered him a scholarship?
No. Unfortunately,
but that plays in it.
Sure. That's among the factors, no question. The biggest factor, though, first of all, I think the guy's a specimen. I like how he looks. I like how he runs. He's physically gifted. I mean, he's a brick house. Good style, good speed.
Great change of direction, right. It looked like. Very shifty. Starts out up the middle and just changes direction.
He runs hard. He's a grown man, too. I mean, he's coming here to do one thing, and that's play football. He's not coming here to make friends and do college and be a fun-loving guy and all that. I mean, he's very focused. He's engaged. I mean, this guy's very focused. But the biggest reason among all those others, including all those others, I should say, is the fact that this coaching staff did not want to take, had no plans to take a running back in this latest recruiting class.
That's a great point.
And when they were looking at some film of some guys out in California where DeAndre Mann's coming from, one of the coaches there, or Coach Palace, I think maybe even, saw his footage and said, we should take a look at that. Somebody said, hey, take a look. And Charlie Weiss took a look, and he changed his mind right there on the spot, and he said, we're going to offer that kid. The rest is history. He ended up coming here. He picked KU over Georgia State. That tells me he's going to get a chance.
Paulus, Reagan, and Weiss all loved this film. Paulus was the first recruiter, the lead recruiter. Weiss and Reagan were involved as well. And they seem unanimous about this guy. And then you do have that credibility when his hometown school, Miami of Florida, is recruiting him. That's a big-time football program.
No doubt. Here's how focused, here's how serious this guy is. Didn't even visit. Not interested in the scholarship. Grew up in Miami, offered by the Hurricanes.
He knew they had a running back that was going to be their featured back, and here he's confident enough in himself. He wants to enter a crowded competition with some talented guys. I'm going to go with Darian Miller. He's their most talented runner.
Yeah.
He's so hard to tackle. He's kind of a small target in terms of being short, but more than that, he just makes such great cuts and is so good at making people miss. And he keeps those thick legs churning.
I still think about him as a freshman, a true freshman, when he was here the first time. And how many times you and I in the press box during games would look at each other and go, wow! I mean, he made runs and moves and kept his balance and all these things that blew our minds. And we didn't quite see that in his return last year anyway. Part of that because he wasn't even there the entire season. The other part of it is because James Sims had become such a stud that no one was given a chance to,
and rightly so,
to fully entrench themselves as part of the offense. You know, they were filling in for James and taking the load off of him and all that. But given this chance, it wouldn't surprise me if Darian makes you right. It really wouldn't. I mean, the guy's incredibly talented, incredibly gifted, and. He's got some things that, you know, it's cliche as heck, but you can't teach some of the things he does.
Right, and he's a smart guy, good student in the classroom. Now, as you mentioned, that Bourbon is listed as one, but Darian Miller's like 1A. Why do you think bourbon is listed at one? Is it his seniority? Is it his versatility? Is it a combination of those factors? I mean, you got to list some on one.
Right. I think it's probably the seniority. I mean, you got to remember he was mostly in that F position last year, which was not a true running back.
Right.
So he went over there to help the team because he's a fantastic dude, a fantastic teammate. He's one of my favorite guys on the team. And he carved out a pretty decent role. I mean, he did some of what they were asking Tony Pearson to do, and then when Pearson got hurt, he caught some balls and helped him out. So he's moving back to running back. It's not usual where you would move a guy back and then put him at the top of the depth chart right away. So I think it's just because two things. One, he's a senior. Let's give him the crack he deserves, so to speak. And the other thing, Taylor Cox injured last year. Darian Miller had his personal problems that kept him away. It's the only guy coming into the spring that was truly not a risk factor, not injured, whatever you want to call it.
And he does have a lot of versatility. Right. I mean, he's fast. He's big.
Right.
That's a great blend. Yeah. Maybe he doesn't have the vision or the change of direction that a couple of the other guys have. But those are, and he's pretty powerful. He's a pretty good blocker. And they wouldn't have moved him to that F position if he were not an excellent receiver for a running back.
No question.
So he does bring a lot. My only concern with him, and I don't know if this is statistically backed up because they don't track that in their media guide for some reason. Maybe no college programs do. But it seems to me, whether it's in scrimmages, it's probably scrimmages that we've seen through the years, it seems to me that he does cough the ball up once in a while. So that's something to keep an eye on. If he doesn't do it, great.
Right.
But if he does do it, you put a little more weight in that than you would if it were just some James Sims doing it.
I mean, once in a while is bad, but for most coaches, once is too many.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you don't get very many chances if that's what you're doing. I really like his game, too. I always have. I've always been, you know, wishing for more because he does have that blend of size and speed and power and all that. And this was a guy that couldn't stay healthy the first couple of years he was around, you know. So that really hurt him. And then, obviously, James Sims developed into what he was. And it was tough for anybody to get a crack. So, yeah, he's one of those guys that if it were Brandon Bourbon to lead this team, I would love that because he would be a feel-good guy. You know, you'd be happy for him. He's been a stand-up dude. He's been great in interviews. He's been a teammate that anybody would love to have. I mean, all those things lead to
good sense of humor.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't take himself or anything too seriously. He's just here to have fun, play football, get an education, all those things. So you would definitely feel really good for him if he could go out with a bang. But, you know, going out with a bang could mean 5 or 6 wins for a guy like that who's been here for all this losing. It doesn't necessarily mean he has to have 300 carries and 1,000 yards. Although
those are some, you know, James Sims is gone, but those are some pretty good names. Guys who you would feel comfortable, let's say, if they were the number two guy competing, pushing the number one guy. All those guys.
No question.
Because Brandon Bourbon, for the reasons we listed, he's big, he's fast, he can block, and he can catch. Taylor Cox has power. He has speed. DeAndre Mann has power. He has good moves. He's shifty. Darian Miller has great moves. He really cuts well. He's hard to bring down. He makes people miss.
Yeah, if your schemes are good, these guys will have success. I mean, if your line blocks and your offense is solid, these guys are all more than capable of having success.
And all a little bit different. So
that's what's cool,
too. They can customize plays for each guy, and it's a running back by committee, but that's pretty common in football these days.
These days, yeah.
And it's a very exciting position, even though James Sims, who led the team in rushing 4 consecutive years, is gone. And what a stud he was.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's going to be weird not seeing him. It's already been weird not having him in interviews and those kinds of things. So
yeah,
it will be weird not seeing him out there. But I know all these guys are really excited about the opportunity. Brandon, even during one interview this spring, told me, you know, we love James, and he was the man, and we had nothing but respect for him. We're glad he's gone because as a group of running backs, we actually now believe that we might be able to earn some playing time.
They
knew with James here, he's going to be the workhorse. Right. He's going to get his 20 carries, and he's going to do what he does with it. So that wasn't a knock on the coaches. That wasn't a knock on James. It was just reality, and that's important too. I think that's really important to remember. One other thing I like about all these guys, which doesn't mean a whole lot, but since you kind of started off the topic this way, Brandon Bourbon had an offer from Stanford Darian Miller had Big 12 offers all over the place. DeAndre
and Mann. And Iowa, I think.
Right. DeAndre Mann, Miami offer. Corey Avery, Texas, was one of the hats on the table there when he did the hat ceremony.
Trayvon Wrench.
Trayvon Wrench could have gone at a lot of places. Notre Dame, Nebraska, Oklahoma. I mean, these guys, yeah, these guys aren't just good names. They're players that other programs wanted, too. That's got to be something.
Well, and let's try to trace them. Why are they able to get these guys at this position beating out good schools when they can't do that elsewhere? Well,
it's a pretty easy answer, right?
A factor here is Reggie Mitchell.
Yes.
Reggie Mitchell is a great recruiter, and Reggie Mitchell gives this offensive coaching staff stability. When you think about it, Darian Miller has had three different offensive coordinators, and he's a junior.
Wow.
He did take that 1 year off.
Wow.
But he had Chuck Long, he had Charlie Weiss, and now he has John Reagan as an offensive coordinator. Now, he's one shy of Jake Heaps, who will be with his fourth offensive coordinator in 4 years of college football. So Reggie's really a key figure.
Yeah.
That Charlie Weiss has been able to hold on to Reggie Mitchell, who is in at least his second tour of duty with Kansas,
right.
The first one being under Glenn Mason. Turner Gill brought him back, perhaps the greatest thing that Turner Gill did during his tenure.
Yeah.
He brought back Reggie Mitchell, who's been a great asset to the coaching staff. Two other things that I think are factors in the running game being really, really good this year. One is it's going to be a spread offense similar to that Ed Warner had when he was here and Reagan was working under him as offensive line coach. We saw the way Brandon McAnderson ran in that spread offense.
And you know what he had? A ton of room to run.
A ton of room. Now, they had better linemen. They had some guys who are in the NFL now, at least one guy.
But spread the field.
You spread the field, you got openings.
Yes.
And these running backs are going to be excited to be in that spread offense. And the other thing is, I still believe that Montel Cozart, when it's all said and done, will be the quarterback on opening day. And with a running threat like that that you have to account for,
sure,
you know, that's one more helmet to account for in the running game, and that makes everybody that much better.
Sure. I mean, when he gives the ball instead of keeping it, you got a lot of room to run because a lot of guys are following him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really cool. These guys have to be salivating about the idea of this new offense, about the fact that this, you know, this is something that from day one, I mean, Reagan was hired officially in December, and from day one, he had no issue saying, we will run the football. And I would think that that's a statement about these guys as much as anything, because at that point, he really didn't know what he had with his offensive line. Now he's confident in himself as an offensive line coach, probably believed, I've got the bodies, yeah, I'll figure it out. But I think he really liked this group of running backs and was pretty confident that, you know, we can do that. We can control games with the run. Yeah, they're going to be a spread offense. Yeah, the passing game is going to be better. The receivers are better, those things. But this will still be a team that butters its bread by running the football and controlling games, because in this conference, if they don't do that, they just make it harder on themselves to compete with these ridiculously talented teams up and down the
Big 12
schedule.
Yeah, running shortens the game, for one thing. All
right,
sure. So Matt Tate predicts that DeAndre Mann will be this team's leading rusher, and I predict that Darian Miller will be. But as of right now, number one on the depth chart is Brandon Bourbon. I'm Tom Keegan. He's Matt Tate. Keep it tuned to KUSports.com for future podcasts, future podcasters on KU's spring football, position by position. Thanks for joining us.